I'll just share a brief story. I can remember a time in an assembly, and this was going way back. I won't tell you how many years, but it was a long time ago. Before I was married, I was a young man in the assembly, and there was a problem, there was a situation, and the brothers met in a room, and they were all standing there, and there was contention, and there was strife, and it was obvious that there was problems. I, being a young brother, I was watching everybody, and finally, and I will never forget this, one older brother said, "Brethren," and we're all standing there in a circle, and he said, "Brethren, could we please let Christ be the head of his assembly?" And he knelt down right there on the floor, and he started praying. And before we left that room, every tear, I mean, every eye was full of tears. The floor was wet. All the brethren were crying. I was crying, and I wasn't even involved. But the point being, somebody had to humble themselves and say, you know what? We're not letting Christ be the head of his assembly. And you know when that happened? We came out of that room, and you could tell we had been with Christ. And the attitudes were different, and the desire of the saints were to build one another up. And love was shown. Before we went in that room, love was not being shown. So when we let Christ be the head, that's where the love flows from, right? If I'm still trying to do my own thing and push my own agenda, I will not be able to demonstrate the love to you. What will happen is I'll love those that I want to love, and I won't love the rest. And that's how cliques get formed, and that's how divisions and little groups get formed in the assembly. But when I'm allowing Christ to be head of his assembly, when we are allowing Christ to be head of his assembly, what happens then is that love flows from the head out of the members to the members.
So when it talks about be of the same mind, it's not my mind, it's the mind of Christ.
Right. Well, it's also interesting. It's in 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. I need to think about my brother the way I want him to think about me, right? It's about having the same way of looking at things. It's not about my agenda or my interest. It's I look at you and I want to look at you in such a way that I have the same viewpoint and you have the same viewpoint, that we're all in this together. We're growing on together. We might differ. And so, but when we differ, we have a discussion and we talk and we are seeking the same end. So I have that same mind towards you.
In Proverbs, I can't think of it perfectly right now, but how can two travel in the same direction except they're of the, where was it? Except they be agreed.
That's Amos.
Amos, yes. Yeah. Not Proverbs.
The sorry, I had a thought of how that was connected, and now it has escaped me. I'll wait.
That two aspects of maturity then would be wisdom and humbleness. Wisdom to know how to be humble, and the humbleness to be willing to be humble, to put others, Christ first and then others before you.
Thank you. You jogged my own thoughts on that. Exactly. That when Joe mentioned earlier, it's the mind of Christ that matters. Even that, I propose to you, even that is when somebody brings it up, even then, often, if I bring that up to you, I say, well, we just need the mind of Christ. I usually have in my mind, I'll tell you what it is. Right? I can understand in this situation what the mind of Christ is. So it still often so much comes back to us. We say, well, we just all need the mind of Christ, but we don't often experience those wonderful results that Tim just described in that experience. We still divide or have strife over what the mind of Christ is in a situation. And if I believe it, the easiest thing, really, is to divide, in a sense. It's far easier to say, we just don't get along, let's stay apart. It's much more work to consider one another and dedicate ourselves to fostering the relationship that is expressed in the fact that we are all coming under the authority of that one head. We are waiting for him to supply us so that we can properly participate in the growth of the body. It requires not the language of exclusion where we start talking about us and them, but it's where we emphasize the unitedness, the one another. In a relationship, in a marriage relationship, when there's disagreement, the easiest is to just stop talking, go to the, you know, separate sides of the kitchen, the separate sides of the house, the separate sides of the yard, whatever, and stop arguing. But you don't then promote the unity that ought to be, the harmony that ought to be part of a marriage. And this is why even believers end up having, you know, marriage strife that leads to divorce. But the best thing, just this is for free. We were invited to a wedding once, and in the wedding was a quote from the pastor who was counseling these two young people who were going to be married. And the quote was, love is a decision, marriage is a contract, and a relationship is work. So good. And it's for any relationship. It's true in this relationship, the unity of the body. I'll just add one other quick thought. I was reading a commentary, a brother was talking about the tribes, the 2.5 tribes that didn't cross over the Jordan River. And he said, and look, their reason was that they had cattle, and the area on the east side of the Jordan River was really good for cattle, so they were staying there. And so this brother was speaking about the ease with which some believers might look at earthly things and make their decisions based on earthly things. And he said, you know, some people make their decisions based on earthly things, he said, but they are still our brethren. That's very subtle. Let me just explain what is said here. That's very subtle. Actually, it's not an inclusive statement. They are still our brethren. What does that mean? That means that I, who am writing this, and you who are reading this, we're actually better than that. We don't struggle with earthly things. Those other Christians, they're the ones. They're still our brethren. It's a nice thought. They are. But we all struggle. We must use inclusionary language when we think of the one another's of Scripture and not say, well, other Christians don't understand this. Have you heard that from the podium? Other Christians don't understand this. Let's not talk that way.
We read in Romans 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much lie within you, live peaceably with all men. And that made me think of the verse in Matthew chapter 19, because it says, if it is possible. But in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus is talking and said to them, with men this is impossible. Think about the United Nations. They can't keep peace very well. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.